fame and the world will know your name. Good evening and welcome to Personality Profile here on Joy 99.7 FM. I'm Lexus Bill, and in the next hour, I'm taking you to the Volta region. Yes, I'm taking you to specifically the whole central constituency, because I have a son of the land in the studio. Now, we're live on Facebook. You can actually tell a friend to tune into this conversation, because like we always do, we bring you a very enthralling hour of good conversation that is actually meant to inspire you and let you know about our guests who are doing amazing things for the motherland. So like I said, this evening I'm spending time with a very hard-working parliamentarian who has spent about 3 terms in Ghana's parliament. He's a septuagenarian, meaning he has lived more than 7 decades on this earth. Look, he certainly has seen a lot. And today I'm hoping that he will share some nuggets with us, not just about work, but about life in general. Because after 70, my goodness, you've lived a lot, enough to inspire young men and women like me. Yeah. The people of whole central constituency know him very well. In fact, they love him so much so that in the last elections, 85% of the voters voted in his favor to give him a 3rd term in parliament. Charlie, that's serious. In fact, when I shared that I'll be hosting him, one of his colleagues in parliament reached out to me and said, look, Lexus, this man is a very meticulous man. He has super eyes for hidden figures. He said, look, no amount of figures can escape his scrutiny. And that's partly because, look, he's a chartered accountant. He's been an accountant lecturer. He's worked as a finance officer for the University of Education, Winneba. He worked at the James Craigrein & Co. as well, auditors, right? Worked in Nigeria, is lectured there as well. He has had a colorful career in politics, serving as a member of parliament for the whole central constituency on the ticket of the National Democratic Congress, NDC. He's a member of the Privileges Committee, the Local Government and Rural Development Committee, and the Finance Committee. Honorable Benjamin Komlakbodo, Member of Parliament for the whole Central Constituency, is my guest tonight. Honorable Wizzle.
Yo.
Good to see you. How are you?
Good to see you too. Okay. Nifonyera.
Medekukwe.
That's right.
I am learning. I am learning small.
You need to learn very fast.
I have to. I have one of your daughters in my house, so I need to make sure that...
You're very lucky.
Oh, I'm lucky. I chose very well.
Then I will pay a visit to you for fufu.
You should. Anyway, so good to see you. How are you doing?
I'm well. Mm. I'm pretty relaxed.
Okay.
Yes, and as I decided not to contest the next election,
okay,
which is coming off on December the 7th.
Yeah.
I think the political activity has come down a little.
That's why you say you are relaxed, because at this time of the year, your colleagues who are vying are already on the ground and they are under pressure.
Relaxed in a sense that, okay, yes, I'm confident whoever is coming in my place will succeed,
okay,
as I've succeeded.
Right.
Because you know already in my place, not very much contest is available for us,
yes,
to be worried about. But the nighttime activities, traveling over long distances, late hours, they have reduced.
They have reduced.
That's what, okay, I mean by relaxed a little.
Wow.
But tomorrow I'll be back in Hua again.
Yeah.
For us to continue. My PC is holding a fundraising activity tomorrow evening.
Okay.
So I'll be there. In fact, you can organize some of your colleagues to come in.
No, yeah. I mean, I didn't know about it. Let me know about it. Probably when we are done, we can speak about it and see how we can come in.
You have
support.
You
whatever
have
you're doing.
Your man in who,
yeah,
who you can come and cover it,
okay,
and
okay,
give you a report.
If, no problem.
Yes.
When we're done, we'll talk about it and see how we can get him there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Nice. But I mean, when I actually heard that you voluntarily decided not to contest this year, I was wondering why, because obviously the people of Ho Central want you to represent them. I mean, you've represented them for 3 terms. You could actually go for even 2 more terms if you wanted to. But what makes you decide that I've had enough of being a parliamentarian?
In your intro, you made it clear to listeners that I'm a septuagenarian.
Yes.
That is, I'm 70 plus.
Yes.
So at 70, I want to create the opportunity for younger people to come and take up the position and also work and build themselves as a good politicians to serve the constituency and the country.
That's your reason? So
yes, that's just the reason. I think that I was simply creating opportunity for younger people to come.
Wow. Mm. Is it more the need for the younger people or probably the fact that you are tired of the job?
You know, as you age, whatever you are doing, as you age, your strength, your ability to hang on to it also diminishes.
Mm.
Yes. So you need to look at yourself and see whether you don't have a place, I mean a point at which you will stop. That is what informed my decision not to continue.
I see.
Yes.
But you know, especially in Ghana, politically, we will say you are still a young man.
Yes.
If you get what I mean.
Yes, quite a number of politicians currently in Ghana now are about 80.
Yes. Now, in fact,
many
president,
people are beyond.
The president is 80.
Yes. Yes, but the level at which the president is serving is different from that of member of parliament.
You're saying that member of parliament's work is more arduous than that of the president?
Well, the president has every care that the nation can give him, but it is not like that for member of parliament.
Explain that further.
Yes. You see, MPs are in direct contact with the people. You go to them for vote. Even the presidential candidate relies on you to rake in the vote. So you are in contact with them on a very regular basis.
Mm.
So meeting them, they come and wake you up sometimes at 5 a.m. You are unable to sleep early. You have to be attending meetings. I can tell you, Lexis, that in one Easter period, I had to visit 7 different Easter celebrations before the close of day.
In one day?
In one day. I started some before the people went to the park. I joined others in the park. Stayed a little, went to the next one. Stayed a little, went to the next one.
And give vote of thanks on another one.
the last one I visited, the people had closed. So I had to go and meet the chief with his elders in his palace.
Wow.
Yes. Now, so it's very tiring, and the president is there. He is taken full care of by the state. He has all the medical care that is necessary, personal doctor, and all that. But we in parliament do not have those facilities. We have to take care of ourselves. With the meager salary that we take. And the demands from people who are around you, thinking that because you are a member of parliament, you have a lot of money, is so overwhelming.
Really?
Yes. So overwhelming that you have to live through a lot of stress at many of the time. But that is not to discourage anybody from coming to parliament to work for Ghana. It is not to. But it is good you know what is in there before you come, and when it begins to face you, you don't regret that this is.
But I mean, it won't be that bad if you have actually stayed in there for 3 terms. It's been 12 years in Ghana's parliament.
Yes,
it's not that bad. If it was that bad, maybe after your first term you would have run away.
I'm not saying being an MP or working as an MP is a bad job. I'm not saying so.
Yes.
But I'm saying that it comes with a lot of stress.
Yeah.
where you don't have time for yourself.
Right. I think I get that part. What I was trying to also say.
So as you age, you must shed some of these things off.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Otherwise,
and you think that the president's position doesn't really have as much stress as that of the member of parliament?
Well, I haven't been president, so I do not want to speculate that much. But I know that in the constituency, we do most of the work. The president can stay 1 year without visiting my constituency, but he expects a result from my constituency.
Right.
Yes. So I have to be going to the nook and cranny of the constituency to meet with people, have discussions, attend festivals.
But in your political life, I mean, being president, was it one of the things that you probably envisioned?
No.
No?
No.
Why not?
Oh, I simply didn't imagine that I wanted to go for that. And when I entered politics, I thought of serving my immediate people around me.
And that's all you wanted to do?
Yes, yes.
It's never been attractive for you to say, oh, I'm president of Ghana?
No.
His Excellency Kpodo?
No, it never occurred to me.
It never occurred to
you. Yes, I never fought for it. I never worked towards it.
Yeah. But I think what you said actually makes you, is it as a mark of a good leader who knows what point to actually let others also shine.
Yes.
And that's why you suggest that younger people need to take the mantle and also go forth with it. Right?
Exactly so.
Right.
Exactly so.
Well, that's interesting. But how do your constituents feel about it?
Well, my constituents, I would say that they are divided.
Okay.
Yes, because you know when you are working with people, the longer you stay, the more fault they can find with you. You may step on one person's toe or the other. So some felt, in fact, people confronted me that, why do you want to stop?
Mm.
Why don't you want to go again? Even as recent as yesterday, somebody was telling me that a group of people said they regretted that I had not gone in again. But I think that is back case. Mm. Simply put, it is back case. Let's move forward and see what is in front of us and do that. So there are people who felt I should have continued, maybe because of the way they related to me.
Yeah.
But others also felt that you have gone 3 times. It is enough. Okay. Give way to another person.
Okay. Okay.
In fact, in 2019, this scenario was very well played out when 5 other people contested me at the primaries.
Okay.
Yes. Their feeling was that, I had gone
2 terms.
2 terms, so maybe you need to give way. Yeah. They also wanted to come and taste a bite of it.
Yeah.
So we went through that primaries and I emerged victorious and came back the 3rd time. But after 3 terms and with my age, combined with my age,
okay,
I think that I should rest.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. So tell me, in these 12 years, what's the biggest lesson you've learned as a parliamentarian?
Well, I know of service to the people as I programmed it before even entering. You see, when you are leading people, you have to look at the needs of the communities and the people who are working with you or who are living in the communities. What can you do to assist them? If the opportunities come, you must focus on assisting members of your community, the constituency, tackling the needs. So I particularly focused on human development, focused on that, and infrastructural development as well, promoting infrastructure in the constituency and supporting young people to go to school or to learn different types of trade.
Okay.
Yes. So those were the things that I focused my attention on, among others, to be sure that people who needed assistance were given.
Yeah.
As much as I could.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It has not even ended.
You're still on it.
Yes.
In fact,
because
actually,
until next year, 6th January, I'm still.
Yeah, still the MP. Yes. Yes. I saw that in 2019, you actually launched your own green book.
Yes.
To outline the things that you've done.
Yes.
Including the school blocks that you built, the scholarships, and whatnot.
Yes. One of the major projects that I did was occasioned by the desire to help my constituents to get admission into a nurses training college hall.
Okay.
I was there, just a brand new member of parliament, and I started receiving the request, help me to get admission to nurses training, help me to get to that college. So I went to the principal with the list, their results and their names. The person has applied for this and he's not getting admission. The principal told me, hey, honorable, I have teachers who have faculty here, but I don't have the classroom to put the students you want me to admit in. So if you can come and put up a classroom block for us, if you can get us a classroom block and there will be more space, I will take your student. I said, is that it? She threw that challenge to me. I picked it up. Now they have a two-story classroom block, which at that time created the space for her to admit 400 more students.
Wow.
Is that when you go to Oho, before Trafalgar, you have the nurses training college on the right there.
Mm.
You see the building right over there.
I see.
Yes. So, and in addition to infrastructure, many students, especially when there wasn't this free senior high school thing.
Yeah.
There were many of our children in senior secondary schools who did not have the funds to pay their assembly fees.
Okay.
So that one too, I took up.
Wow.
Sometimes 300, sometimes 200 students, I will pay small fees, at least one term for each. In addition to those who went to the universities, who went to nurses training colleges, colleges of education, if I continue to do those things even as we are sitting here.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's serious.
So those are the things that you do to help your people in the constituency.
Okay. When you look back, what's the biggest regret you've had?
You have been asking people this question. I don't have any regrets serving as member of parliament. You see, when I left the university in 1980, I didn't stay in Ghana. After doing national service, I went to Nigeria.
Why?
Because I was itching to go for further studies.
Further studies or greener pastures?
Further studies. I wanted to do my
Nigeria's
master's.
Flag is green.
Those days it was MBA.
Okay. Yeah.
After finishing University School of Administration, BSc accounting option, I wanted to go for further studies to do my master's in business administration. But the avenues were not that open. So I decided to go there and work, raise funds.
Okay.
Because Nigeria at that time had quite a lot of money.
Mm.
They were making good payments. In fact, we were receiving portions of our salary in foreign currency.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
In 1980 to 83, 84.
That's the early 80s.
Yes. We were receiving.
Before Ghana Must Go.
Yes. It was. Ghana Must Go came in 1983.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So between.
But you didn't go?
I went small and came back.
No, I'm curious.
I took a holiday during the turmoil. But I went back.
I see.
Yes. So,
but how was it like at the time?
When I was there, I had a foreign account in England and in Lomé. Another one in Lomé.
Okay.
So part of my salary was being paid there, which I was accumulating for the purpose of going to either Canada or Australia for further studies.
Okay.
But when these troubles came in Nigeria and the funds could not build up that much, I decided to go to University of Lagos, one of those Nkrumah time universities. That was where I ended up doing my master's at the UNILAG in Akoka.
Yeah.
So if you ask me what I've regretted, it's like I stayed too long in Nigeria.
Oh.
Yes. I stayed too long in Nigeria.
How long in total did you stay there?
I went there in 1981 and came back in 1993.
I see.
Yes.
So almost 12 years.
12 years.
Yeah.
So all that time, you know, when the economy of Nigeria was deteriorating, you know, even the foreign exchange salaries were no longer coming.
Okay.
And the economy was having difficulties. We were living from hand to mouth. Yeah, so that's the period that I think I wasn't very happy with my life.
But so what kept you there?
No, I went to school, as I told you.
Yeah, but that was for a period.
Yes, I went to school when I decided that I had enough to support me to go to school.
Okay.
Yes. So I went and paid my fees at UNILAG and did my master's. After the master's, I came back home.
Okay, that's when you came back home?
Yes, that was when I came back home.
Right.
I started doing the Institute of Chartered Accountants exam in Nigeria. And I dropped it midway and came back home.
And then there was a lot of turmoil, because if you abandoned that too midway and all of that, then what was going on in Nigeria?
Well, the whole thing was that I wanted to come home.
Okay.
My family was also pushing that, let's go back home. Let's go home. So I...
Oh, you had your wife with you there?
Yes, she stayed with me almost throughout.
Oh, I see.
She joined me in 19... was it 83? Joined me in 1983 until 1993 when we came back.
Wow.
Yes. So it was a period that I thought that I wasted away a little. Yes. If I had remained here, maybe the story would have been different. Or if I had quickly fulfilled my own desires by going to Canada or Australia, then that would have been better for me.
Right.
But it didn't come that way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you ask me what's my regret,
then that will be it.
That will be it.
So now you come back to Ghana, and now you have to, what did you have to start all over again? Because I know before you left, you were a pupil teacher. You were teaching.
You see, that pupil teacher aspect of it started way back. My middle school days. You see, I left middle school, I finished middle school in 1969. 1969, I finished middle school. And that year, before I finished the middle school leaving certificate examination, I wrote an entrance examination to Teachers Training College. You know, I had not written common entrance to secondary school before. Because There wasn't any means I was going to fund it. My father wasn't available over there.
Where was he?
That's a different story. So I had to be with my mother, following her up and down, doing farm work, and sometimes I even lifted cuckoo in Togo.
Oh, really?
Yes. We were in Togo, they call the place Akpaso. When you go to Jessica area, you cross the border. That's where you go. My grandfather had some cocoa farm over there. So I followed my mother, and when cocoa was harvested, we lift it from Akpaso, the village, to Bena, where we would go and sell it. So there were lots of things that I was doing when I was young. Now, in 1969, when I left the middle school, I wrote the exam, I was admitted to Anum Teachers Training College. I don't know whether you know, the school in Anum, which is now secondary school, mm-hmm. used to be a teachers training college.
Oh, I see.
Yes. So I was admitted over there. But again, there were challenges raising the fund to go to the teachers training college. Even since I did not go to secondary school, the next option was to go to teachers training college.
And you couldn't raise the money?
I couldn't raise the money.
Your mommy couldn't raise the money?
Yes.
So, what about the cocoa farm you were working on? Who was it for?
For my late grandfather. And when he passed away, the other children, you know, distributed the things. And
they couldn't help you?
No. They could not help me. So, don't let us go back there.
It sounds like there's something there that you didn't want to say. But because I'm thinking that if it's a cocoa farm, then there's probably some money around.
I didn't own the cocoa farm.
Yes, I know. But whoever owned it was your family member.
Yes. But we, the children, were not shareholders in the property.
I understand that.
Yes.
But were they not able to help you?
No.
They didn't have the money or my they just
uncles,
wouldn't?
My uncles didn't help me.
But they could have?
They could have, but they said they were not going to have... They said they didn't have the funds to help me. Mm. So what I did was I took my admission letter to the regional education office. I vividly remember the name of this director of education called Mr. Budu. Mm. He was from Teshi area. So he looked at the admission letter, looked at my results, and he had compassion on me. He offered me the pupil teacher appointment from the regional education office. So they posted me to Evangelical Presbyterian Education Unit. Then they sent me to a village called Taviepe to go and teach over there.
In the Volta region?
Yes, very close to Tanyigbe, my village. You know, I come from Tanyigbe. Now, when I showed the letter to my mother, she said, no, you this small boy, you are not going outside Tanyigbe. So for two months, I sat in the house until a vacancy was created in Tanyigbe EP Primary School before they reposted me home. So when I was doing the pupil teaching work, I again wrote the exam.
Okay.
This time, you know, because I was saving the pupil teacher's salary. You know this what our salary was?
What was it?
28 CDs.
28 CDs?
Yes, 28 CDs.
And that was a lot of money, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, a lot of money because at home I didn't need to spend more than 4 CDs.
Yeah.
So I will give the money to my mother. She will tie it on her waist.
Wow.
And be going to the farm with it. Until the results for the second teacher's training entrance examinations came. And she then released the money for me to go and organize my kit. And then I went to training. Because I taught for 10 months. I did pupil teaching for 10 months.
Okay.
So it was after the teacher's training college that I did another 3 years of teaching as a certificate A teacher.
Yeah.
But fortunately for me, whilst in the training college, I studied alongside the teacher training program privately to do GCE O level. And whilst I was doing post-training college teaching, I did the GCE A level privately. And that was what took me to Legon in 1977.
Wow.
Yes.
I see.
So the pupil teaching was for a very limited period.
I mean, you'd later become a chartered accountant.
Yes. What happened there was that I told you that I started the Institute of Chartered Accountants exam in Nigeria.
Yes.
But I abandoned it because I knew that if I passed my Master of Science in Accounting, I will get exemptions.
Oh, okay.
So I fortunately successfully completed the MSc in accounting in UNILAG.
Yeah.
So when I came home, I submitted these results to the Institute of Chartered Accountants, and they granted exemption for me from part one and part two. So that made me to quickly do the rest.
Okay.
And I
okay.
qualified in 1998.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
Then by that time, I was already the acting finance officer at the University of Education. Then it was University College of Education.
Winneba.
Yes, Winneba. So I was there when I chartered, and then I was later confirmed as the substantive finance officer.
Finance officer.
And I
okay.
worked there until 2013, January, when I left. But whilst there, I also took the opportunity to teach again. Once a teacher, always a teacher.
Yeah.
We introduced the program, for the business administration program. And we wanted to affiliate with the Institute of Chartered Accountants. But their requirement was that we should have faculty members who are qualified as accountants.
Okay, okay.
Otherwise, they will not recognize our programs.
And that's where you came in?
Yes, so I came in with one or two other colleagues and started teaching.
Okay.
So they could then recognize our program.
So you were actually there at University Education till you decided to get into politics?
Whilst there, you were doing the two together.
How were you doing it? What were you doing at the time?
Well, I was going to the constituency, organizing people. And you see, the politics started like this. You know, Honorable Kofi Atto, whom you met me with.
Oh, right, yes.
He was a three-term MP. Now.
Oh, he handed over to you?
No, he didn't.
Okay.
When the present Democratic dispensation started, he was the first MP. But in our constituency, there was no primaries held for him to go.
Okay.
So anytime, by popular acclamation,
they would just
sign for him from Accra.
I see.
So there was no contest. Then in 1996, I said, this was getting too much. They should give whole central constituency to the opportunity to go for primaries so that we can get other people to fill a bite of the politics. So that was where I started from.
Okay.
So whilst in Winneba, I was going to carry out this very campaign, going around branches in the constituency to clamor for our request to also hold primaries.
To clamor for democracy.
Yes. So if you can say I'm the father of democracy.
Yes, in the whole constituency.
So even in 2000, the powers that be at the national head office said Kofi Atto was of such a person to them that they wouldn't want to subject him to primaries. So in 2000, there wasn't any primaries. So for the three times, 1992, 96, and 2000, there were no primaries until I started agitating for that. So in 2004, there was the first primaries held. By that time, Honorable Captain George Mfuju, who was, during Kofi Atto's time, the district chief executive.
Okay.
Also contested, and he defeated me. He won the primaries,
okay.
And so he went to Parliament.
Parliament
in 2004.
In 2008.
2008, he went again. We didn't contest. In fact, I was of the view that even though people were saying go and contest, I said no. The man had gone only one term. Why do you want us to go and disturb him to challenge him? Let's all gather around him to go a second term. So there were a number of things we did which ensured that nobody contested him.
I see.
Yes. That one I won't tell you.
I was about to ask, what did you do?
Don't ask
but
me. Don't ask me, because I won't tell you.
Okay, so you decided that nobody will contest him.
No, so he went again in 2008. Then in 2011, when the opportunity came that from 2004, primaries were regularly held.
Okay.
Except the 2008, when we made sure that nobody contested him.
Okay.
So in 2011, we were going for primaries, and I filed and went in. It was delayed to 2012. Then I emerged victorious. That was how I got to parliament in 2013.
Ah.
Yes.
Wow.
So whilst in Winneba, I was connecting at home.
Okay.
And the trick also was that I was supporting the incumbent.
Yeah.
Where it was necessary.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So everybody saw that I had a clean politics. I was not doing politics of vindictiveness.
Yeah.
That as soon as he went, because he defeated me, I'll start undercutting him. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. So
that's a really good thing.
Yeah.
Now you've done 12 good years in parliament. And you say, it's time to bid parliament adios. You served under the NDC government.
Yes.
During the presidency of His Excellency John Mahama.
Yes.
Power changed hands to the NPP. You've lived through 8 years of it.
Yes.
What do you make of these two governments?
You see, when you are a member of parliament, you know your zone.
Mm.
At all times, you need to perform your role. What you are doing there as MP, you must stick to it. I went in for that, so I did not have to expect anything beyond what I went to do as MP. Now, when we were in government, that is 2013 to 2016, many people would have thought that, as government MP, you will be getting this, you will be getting that. I didn't see any difference between that period and the subsequent period.
Really?
Yes, because I focused on my member of parliament work.
Mm.
Yes. I focus on my member of parliament work. You see, sometimes you think that NDC, all MPs, because we are all the same party, things are rosy. No. No. Even among the NDC MPs, there could be some waves of disagreement.
Okay.
You could disagree very vehemently, as if you are even in different parties.
I see.
Yes. So I don't find anything different. In fact, you see that when we are moving about in parliament, you could even have close associates from the other side, closer than your own
people. Party.
Yes.
People. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. But what do you make
and
of
there is there is a, I can tell you that there is some amount of how do we describe this, you know, rubbing shoulders one with another.
Okay.
Yes. It's even within the same party. That is why you will find that even though you are in the same party, you will be rubbing shoulders with your colleague,
yeah,
who are from the same party.
Okay. But what do you make of governance per se? I mean, this is beyond you being an MP. What do you make of the tenure of the NPP?
Well, I think that there are lots of disappointments that I have, because this is a group that touts democratic credentials. But they aren't. they are not that democratic. They are not independent minded. They fall heavily under the whip system, by which if anything is coming from their executives, if anything comes from their executives, they must support it. But I remember during John Mahama's time, when Setekpe was finance minister, and I was member of finance committee, Setekpe will bring certain things to parliament and we will reject them at the finance committee meeting. That was the time he wanted to reduce the interest for these mineral, the mining companies. And we said, what is that? Why do you do that? You think it's you can apply that waiver generously to everybody? Those are the companies that you should even tax more. So we rejected it at the finance committee. Honorable Nitu was there at the time, a member of the committee.
Mm.
So this group is not like that. It's not like that.
They support whatever policy once it's from the NDP.
Once it is from the executive.
Okay.
Once it is from the executive. Unless they look at how they treated that issue of Ken Must Go.
Mm.
Even they themselves originated the idea. They initiated it. But when it came to a point, they fizzled out because there was pressure from the executive.
Mm.
And now we have had lots of difficulties even in this hung parliament.
Mm-hmm.
Because even when the issue is of national character and we all need to come together and deal with it as such, the whip system will not permit our colleagues to do so. That's what is happening in this parliament.
How has that affected the economy on the larger scale?
Well, you will notice that ideas which are good coming from the other side are kicked out.
Mm.
Take, for instance, this borrowing spree. We kept on cautioning government about the borrowing, that it was getting out of hand. So there were times we would even try to stop the loan, but they would be whipped. And look at where we are now. We have overborrowed through the roof. And we can't pay the interest. We can't even service the debts.
Mm.
So see where we are. We have become junk. We are now a junk economy. They go about saying every day that the economy is improving. When you have 20.4 inflation, you say the economy is improving. Niger, which we wanted to send troops to go and fight, have inflation of 4.2. So how are we improving? How are we better than those countries? So because we've not been able to listen to good advice, because we always use the imaginary majority to kick out everything, this is where we are.
How do you see the chances of the NDC in this year's election then?
Oh, I think that with a little more hard work reaching out to voters and protecting the ballots, the chance for the NDC is very bright.
Mm.
Yes. Many commentators have said that if NDC does not win, Ghana is running into trouble. In fact, we were even saying it before the 2020 election that the current government has run us up to the cliff, such that the next push, we are just going over it. You see the point?
Mm.
And that is where we are now. That is why by December 2022, we were kicked out of the international financial market.
Right.
Yes. So there's problem. We need someone else who will come and reset the agenda for this country. Otherwise, our troubles will continue.
Interesting. Well, for you, you don't have too much trouble in your constituency because you are not going to contest this year.
Who said so? Who said I don't have much trouble?
What trouble do you have?
The trouble is that I must ensure that my presidential candidate, His Excellency John Dramani Mahama, wins handsomely in the whole center.
But what I meant is that you yourself, you are not standing. So that trouble has been shelved.
it cannot be shelved. There's someone who says in my constituency that you will never sleep until Mahama wins.
Yeah,
that is what we are all hovering around.
Okay, all right.
So we want him to win. In 2012, he had about 60,000 votes. In 2016, when we had that tsunami, he had 50-something thousand votes. In 2020, he had 70,000 votes.
It's getting better, huh?
Yes. And now that we have about 110,000 voters on the roll in my constituency, I'm expecting that he should be getting between 85 and 90,000.
Okay. Yes. Well, we see how that goes this year.
Yes.
Sadly, Parliament will not be seeing you in the next sitting. In the next Parliament, since you're no more contesting as the Member of Parliament for the whole Central Constituency. But you've lived. You have lived a life of the returnee from Nigeria to the politician and the lecturer and crunching the numbers and all of that. What's the biggest lesson life has taught you and the advice that you leave with us today?
Yes, I have thought of this. You see, I told you of the story of how I even eased my way into politics.
Yes.
You need a lot of patience.
Mm.
Yes. People don't have to just rush into anything.
Okay.
You must think it out properly. Get yourself prepared before you go in. Yes. In fact, when I went in, I didn't have to rely on anybody for funding.
Mm.
Because I took my time, I prepared for it, and went in.
Yeah.
Yes. When it is your time, nobody will tell you that go or don't
go. Yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
So, patience and thinking out what you want to do very, very well before plunging yourself into it is key to success.
That's a very valuable lesson and we would actually keep it forever.
Yes.
Honorable, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
We're so grateful that I'm so happy that I got to host you on my show today. And God bless you so much for making time for